I am happiest when I'm giving more of myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I am happiest when I am giving more of myself. How many of us give of ourselves? How many of us make our life an attitude of giving of ourselves? When we give of ourselves, what comes back? Nothing. When we give of ourselves, nothing should come back. When we give of ourselves, we have set in motion that internal process of being ourself. Now, you say, Herb, will you do this problem for me? Sure. You say, I'll pay you $50. I said, sure. So I do the problem for you, and you pay me $50. Well, now, for me, it was nothing to do the problem. And for me, it was just a simple thing, and you paid $50 to have me do what you could have done and should have done and could do and should do in all of your life. But the big problem is that you like to say that you have somebody else do it. Now, we say here, I am happiest when I am giving more of myself. Now, am I really giving more of myself, or am I being myself? I cannot give anything from me to anybody. I can only be myself. And when people come into my life and they ask for healing, they ask for understanding, they ask for education, they ask for wisdom, they ask for anything that I'm able to help them with, I instantly do it without thinking that they've got to pay me. I instantly do it without thinking that if they don't pay, I'm not going to do it. Ha, ha, ha! You know? When I started out the university in 1975, and this is our 30th anniversary, when I started out the university in 1975, I had left a very high-paying job with Andromeda. And I came down to Campo and started the university just after I had taken the vow of poverty, the vow of non-possession. So, I took this vow, and I had no money. I had no income. There was nothing that came to me, nothing that supported me, except my own attitude. And so, for the first 2 years of the university, people would come, and they would give me a love offering only. Well, now, they'd come and give me $1, you know, or they'd come and give me $2. Well, now, I told Mark, who was working with me at the time, I said, Mark, I do not want to see what they give. I do not want to have in my mind that they are limiting themselves by what they're giving, by what they think the value of the course is. And so Mark took the money and banked it, and he never told me about it, and there wasn't much to bank. But we went on. We didn't have enough money to eat, so we went out into the fields around our campus there, and we found all sorts of things that were edible. And I always just gave and gave and gave. People came up there, and they took the courses, and they did the work. And if you look at the records, some gave very nominal amounts of money. Well, I felt that since the love offering only was not really being effective, I put a price on it, a donation cost, tuition. At first, it was very modest. And then I thought, what the hell? If people aren't paying for it, why not make it the way it should be? So I put a proper price on. And now, with a proper price on it, people recognize that it has value, and they're paying for it. But I'm giving totally of myself during the process. I was not thinking that people should pay for it or not pay for it. I was thinking that that's their privilege. If they're going to do it, if they're going to take my books and take the life and teachings of the masters of the Far East that I had to buy, and take the cassette tapes that I had to make and pay for and run off, if they were going to do that, that's great. Well, now today, 30 years later, my first students that I absolutely loved and adored are still with me. My first students, one of them, a couple of years ago, I met him in Las Vegas, Bernie Whalen. And Bernie Whalen was among the ones at the beginning who paid virtually nothing for it. But Bernie Whelan developed a wonderful business in counseling and using his certification from us to run his business. And then, his counseling business. Then, a couple of years ago, he started sending us students and paying the way of the students, because he recognized that that was a very important thing to do. So, I don't know, 4 or 5 students we have from him. Very wonderful students, very active students, very great people. And we're very happy about them. Well, you see, if I'd given up on Bernie way back when, because he was not thinking abundant as he could have, I would have written him off mentally. But I never write off anybody, either mentally or any other way. I don't write off anybody because I don't think anybody is imperfect because they don't come across with money. If I were worried about money, I would have not gone into this type of business. I would have gone into a totally different business. I could have gone into a Billy Graham type business, you know, evangelism, and been very successful because people will really pay for the evangelistic type of thing when you get up there and you sell your message with a lot of enthusiasm. And Billy Graham does that. And many other people do that too. And they're very successful. And that's great. That just isn't my way. And it's not that my way is right or wrong. It's just my way. That's why we always have to be happiest when we're giving more of ourselves. So when I give more of myself, I'm happiest. Well, every time I turned around, some beautiful thing happened in my life. Every time I turned around, something more wonderful than I had ever dreamed could happen, happened. Oh, there were tough things too, of course, like eating. But there are also tough things in our life, but we don't worry about that. And there are people who want to pull the rug out from under you and who want to destroy your reputation, who want to put you down. But if you ever feel unhappy about that, you're the only one who's going to pay the price. But if you know who you are and you know what you do and you just keep giving, giving, giving without any thought of return, the money comes back, money. The abundance comes back. The program works itself out in a perfectly wonderful way. And this is exactly how it should do, in a perfectly wonderful way. Rex, sit. All the way down. That's a good boy. I let my dog sit next to me here, and he gets so enthusiastic with my talk. He says, "Go, Dad, go. That's great. Oh, that's good stuff, Dad. You're talking good stuff." And then he takes his ball and he says, "Now, you play with me. I've said some nice things about you." And so I tell him, "Just sit down, lay down here, and just be gentle for a while. And it's not forever, you know." So he knows that. But today, here on campus, it is a very interesting day. All last night, it rained and rained and rained and rained, raising the water table beautifully. And let's know that it'll keep raining in the gentle rain that's coming down. And it's a blessing for everything. So we know that wherever people are in danger of losing their homes by flooding or something like that, the flood doesn't reach there. It just sinks into the ground. And that's the way it should do. It should just be in the water table, not in the flood drainage ditches, you know. But that's okay, too. Everything is in divine order, and we know that. When I give the most of myself is when I'm the happiest. When I was in the Navy, I went to Long Beach, to the Pike. And the Pike is the amusement park in Long Beach. And so all of us young sailors, we went there. The older sailors went other places. But we went to the amusement park. And we just had fun. We had malted milks, and we had ice cream cones, and we had hamburgers, and we had all the unnecessary things that make life fascinating. And then we went into this large auditorium. It's a large indoor auditorium. And they were having shows there that were open for everybody. And because we were servicemen, we didn't have to pay anything to get in. So we went in and watched the show. And what it was an amateur hour. And everybody was invited to get up and do whatever they could do in their amateur way and delight the audience. Well, some people were very good, and some people were They should have stayed sitting. But that was okay. They did their best. And I got up and I sang. And I sang some of the current songs that were in the 40s, that the 40, 43, 44, 45. And it was kind of fun. And they applauded afterwards. I don't know whether they applauded and said, sit down, or applauded and said, they're very good. But I took it to mean that it was very good.
Of course.
And I just gave my best. I gave my all. And I'm happiest when I'm giving more of myself. Because then everything works out just great. Everything works out just wonderful. As I said, Ellen is writing this article on love. And so I looked up one of the songs in our fake book, Falling in Love with Love with Love, Everlasting Love. And you really should have the melody while you're singing this. You should turn the page right side up, too. Falling in love. Love is for make-believe. Falling in love with love with love, everlasting. Oh, there's words in. Love is playing the fool. I fell in love with love one night when the moon was full. I'm singing that to Rex now. I was unwise with eyes unable to see. I fell in love with love, with love everlasting. But love fell out with me. It's not so positive, but it's a song from Richard Rodgers and 1938. Now, these are fun things to do. They're fun things to do. Just be yourself and have fun. Just let come what comes. Well, as you all know, the university grew and grew and grew, and many things developed. And Mark's great dream of building ultralight airplanes and designing them and redesigning them and making them more and more perfect and selling them around the world took precedence in his way. And so he went off on his own to do that, although he helped me start the university, and that was kind of nice. And people who were with me from way back when I was in Andromeda, way back when I was in Wauwatosa, when I was in West Allis, when I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, way back at the University of Chicago, people still keep popping out of the woodwork. And they still keep saying, oh my goodness, how wonderful, how nice to see you are a success, how nice to see you have a wonderful program going. And they're right. They're right. So you see, when you just can never give enough of yourself, you're just giving, 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 not because you expect something in return, but because that's your nature. I give an hour lecture. I'm supposed to give an hour lecture. And I go up on stage, and I start the hour lecture. And I get wound up and get soaring away and telling beautiful stories. And I say, whoops, time's done. I'm supposed to quit here. And they say, don't, go on, go on. And I say, all right. So I keep going, and I keep going for another 2 hours, 3 hours lecture. They pay me for 1 hour, you know, or if they pay me at all.
Yeah.
And so then at the end of the 3 hour lecture, I say, now are there any questions? And the people just keep sitting. I say, the lecture is over, and the people keep sitting. They don't want to get up. Now, that, of course, to me, is the greatest compliment anyone could ever give. It far exceeds applause, you know? Because with applause, you never know whether they're glad you're over or enjoyed the show very much. And, of course, why do people stand up and applaud for an encore? They're hoping that there won't be an encore, and they're ready to go and leave. They're standing up and getting ready to leave, but you say, oh, that's not true. They're applauding because they want more of what the musician or what the person was giving. You see, we live in a very wonderful world. And as long as we think we can never give enough of ourselves, then we are the ones who can never get enough of that wonderful stuff. So put that in motion for yourself today to have a wonderful time And perhaps you'll even have as wonderful a time as I have in being myself and being God and having fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.